He said that we would be talking about how it's better to give than to receive today. As I got to into that, I decided to break it up into two, and it may wind up being three lessons yet. And the first one is referring to God's giving. You know, if we talk about it's better to give than to receive, we look to Him as our example. He showed us in that He gave us so much. He showed us how much better it was to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, we find the passage, Jesus Himself said this, that the giving is better than receiving. Acts 20 and verse 35, Paul says, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if it's more blessed, that means it's better. It's better to give than it is to receive. Now, when we're children, we don't think that way. My son hasn't given the first thought to what he's going to give his mommy or his daddy for Christmas. But he has given a lot of thought to what he's going to receive for Christmas. And if you ask him, he knows what he wants to get for Christmas. And he knows who he expects is going to give it to him. Ask him, son, what do you want to get for Christmas? Own playplace. And how do you think you're going to get your own playplace? Ha ha. He knows Papa will get him anything. He's got that 270-pound man wrapped around his little finger. I mean, he's got him wrapped up all tight and snug. But we've entitled our lesson this morning, You Can't Outgive God. God was the first one who gave. He started the giving. He gave Adam life. He gave Eve to Adam. He gave them a home to live in. He started out giving. He gave them the sun for light. He gave them the animals for companionship. He gave them the trees and the herbs of the ground for food. He gave and gave and gave. And He still is giving to this day. You see, under the Christmas tree here, there are several presents. We can also call this lesson God's Christmas tree, of sorts. You know, we think about presents at this time of the year. Oh, what are we going to give? What are we going to get? You know, who's going to give who what and those kinds of things. The ladies just had their revealing party. The Secret Sisters gave all their gifts to their sisters and revealed who they were and those things. And it's this time of year. We're going to have a gang gift party later on, which probably won't be many gifts that anybody will want, but they're fun anyway. Giving gifts and receiving gifts, it's an enjoyable occasion. It's good fun, and it's a good way to enjoy life without being involved in anything sinful. It's wonderful. But Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And God shows us this example. We're going to look at 12 things that God gave us. And the reason we put them under the Christmas tree is because this time of year, that's where we put our presents, under the Christmas tree. And everybody in our society gets a Christmas tree and puts it up, and they put their presents under it, and then they open them up. But we're going to discuss that a little bit as well toward the end of the lesson. And so you can either write the presents there, have tags, or have room on the presents to write those things, or I've also numbered up at the top so that you can write it up there, whichever way you want to do it. It's up to you. But we'll start, first of all, with God gave us love. Love. Is there a better gift than that? Is there a better gift that could be given from that point? What if God hadn't given us love? Where would the world be? Where would we be? We wouldn't be sitting here if it weren't for God's love. God gave us His love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. God makes it so very clear. He says, we love Him because He first loved us. We wouldn't have known to love God if it hadn't been for the fact that He first gave us His love. He loved us first. Now, some of you couples out there might remember which one of you gave the other love first. But sometimes it may have been mutual. You may have just both seen each other and just, we love each other. But in many cases, it's one person loves the other and chase them down, and grab them down, and catch them, and destroy them. I love you. I want you to love me too. Well, that's what God did to us. He chased us down to the end of the world to show us He loved us. And He showed that love for us by giving us our second gift. He gave us Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 16, probably the best known scripture in all the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave us His Son. Isaiah said, unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born. He gave His own Son. Gave Him. Didn't charge us. Didn't say, if you can afford it, I'll send Him. He gave. Freely gave. Something is said of this verse, John 3:16. For God is the greatest being. So love is the greatest emotion. The world, that's the greatest number of people. That He gave the greatest sacrifice that could be made. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift that could be given. That whoever believes, the greatest mindset that anyone could have, should not perish, the greatest punishment that could be experienced, but have everlasting life, the greatest reward that could be experienced. And so they say this is the greatest curse in the Bible. Everything about it is the greatest. The greatest good or the greatest evil as a result of how we respond to these gifts that God gives us. So we've got two presents under our tree, His love and Jesus. Now the third gift that God gave us is eternal life. He gives us eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. As with all of these gifts, you have to take advantage of them. God has freely given them, but if we don't take advantage of them, they're of no use to us. He's given us His love. He's given us Jesus. And now John tells us He's given us eternal life. But that eternal life is in His Son. It's in Christ that we can have that eternal life. We can't buy it. You know, that's the amazing thing. When we go out buying gifts for people, and we give them a gift, it's nice that we give gifts. But whenever somebody gives me, why, I could have gone to the same store where they got it, and I could have gotten that same gift for myself. I could have bought that. If I had the money, I could go there and buy that for myself. But not with the gift God gives us. You're not going to find them in any catalog. You're not going to find them at Walmart. They don't exist anywhere. You ever see those advertisements on TV? Not available in stores. Call this number to get this particular thing. There's only one place you can get it. That's the way it is with God's gifts. The devil can't give them to you. No false religion can give them to you. No person can give you these gifts. These are God's gifts and nobody else can get them for you. And you can't get them for yourself. You have to get them from Him if you want them. Then we see fourth, God gave us physical blessings. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. We read here, nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. James says that God makes the rain to shine, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. His sun rises on the righteous and the wicked. It doesn't give those physical blessings to everyone. Now there are times when He punishes people and takes some of those physical blessings even away because of wickedness. But He has given us the rain. He's given us food and gladness. Then we see His fifth gift to us. given according to the measure of Christ's gift. It's a gift. Christ's gift to us, that grace. God would have been unable to give that grace without the sacrifice of Christ. That's what made it possible. And because of that, it's Christ's gift. But even though He's given that grace, it'll do us no good if we don't accept that grace and take advantage of what it offers and learn from it as well. It's amazing as we go through these passages. These are such a minute portion of the verses in the Bible that talk about giving. Yes. As I was looking for that, that's one of the reasons that I decided to make more than lesson out of it. There are over 2,000 passages in the Bible that refer to giving or gifts or presents. There are over 2,000 verses that refer to those things. There were 2,000 times in the Bible that those things come up. It's enough that when I was going to print them out so I could look them over, and it was over 60 pages of scriptures. And I thought, I don't have time to read all those this week. 60 pages of them printed out. Full-size sheets of paper, full-size, 60 pages. That's how much God had to say about giving in the Bible. This shouldn't surprise us, because He was the greatest giver of all. And He started the giving. It was His idea in the first place. Sometimes we think that we can deserve things from God, that He owes us something. We've missed the point. God gave us everything. We say, well, I thought this or that or the other. Well, how did you think? God gave you a mind. Well, I did this. How did you do this or that? God gave you a body and the health to do those things. You can't do anything unless God gave it to us first. Remember these things. God gave us wisdom. He gives wisdom. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given to him. God gives wisdom to everyone who asks it. Unfortunately, a lot of people ask God for wisdom and then go seek it from the world. The world doesn't have God's wisdom. God freely gives His wisdom. It's written right here. And in this very book, He tells us that His wisdom is considered foolishness by many. The world doesn't understand the wisdom of God. We can't go to the world to get a better understanding of God's wisdom and to gain wisdom. But we can't experience yet. We can learn some things and have a worldly wisdom. But God's wisdom doesn't come from those things. God's wisdom comes from His Word. And He'll give us that wisdom if we'll ask Him for it. Then we see God gave us all things. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Paul tells Timothy to command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be prideful, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us all things to enjoy. Of course, people abuse that in many cases. Someone had said at one time, referring to the tobacco plant, they said, God made the tobacco plant. It must be good for something. But I don't know what it is. Everything that God made, it was good. He said so. It's got a good purpose, but it's not to roll it up and smoke it. It's not to dip it and chew it and get cancer from it. That's not the purpose God had for it. People misuse and abuse the things that God has made. God made the grape. He made the corn and the wheat and the barley and all of those things, and they're good things. But when people use them to make alcohol, they've ruined the good purpose. God made plants like the poppy from which people get opium and heroin. Well, those things have their good uses. Poppy flowers, very pretty flowers. And what's more, some of those drugs can be useful in medicine. But when people abuse them, they miss the point. God gives us all things to enjoy, but He didn't give us those things so that we can misuse and abuse them. He had a purpose for all those things. Sometimes we may not know what anything is good for. I haven't yet figured out what a mosquito is good for, except to feed frogs. I don't know. It's kind of fun to watch them fly into the bug's back or sometimes too, you know. But that's about all they're good for, as far as I can tell. But God has some purpose in creating them. And His wisdom, again, is above ours, so He knew. But He gave us all these things so that we could enjoy them. Then eighth, we see God has given us victory. Ah, well, which is better, victory or defeat? Well, victory is better, and that's what God has given us. You notice God is giving the best of gifts. Sometimes we, sometimes because we just can't afford to give certain gifts to people, even though we would like to. And sometimes because we don't think enough of a person that we want to give them a good gift. And sometimes just because we're too selfish and stupid, you don't want to put out any effort or any money or whatever to give a good gift. Sometimes we don't give good gifts. We don't give the best of gifts to people. But God always gives the best gift there is. And that's why we say you can't out-give God. If you give everything that you are and everything that you have, you only give back to Him what was His already. Why, if I have a dollar and I give it to you and you give it back to me, you haven't given me anything except what was mine to start with. And if we give God everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we ever will be, it's meaningless in terms of trying to pay Him back. Because it's only something that He deserved already. It was His to start with. But He has given us victory. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, He gave us the victory over death. Death is quite possibly mankind's greatest fear. Oh, we're afraid of a lot of things. In fact, studies have been done that said that more people were afraid of public speaking like I'm doing here today than were afraid of death. But I think if they were given the choice, in reality, they'd choose to get up in front of the crowd. As embarrassing and as uncomfortable as they might be, we all know that death is the greatest fear that people have. Fear death. We don't want to die. God has given us the victory over that death. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He's just been talking about the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection doesn't mean that we won't have to face death, but it just means that death won't be the end. There's more after that. There's a resurrection to look forward to. Then we see the ninth gift that God has given. And it's interesting, we have 12 of these. It wasn't really planned that way. You know, you think about the 12 days of Christmas. We didn't necessarily plan to have 12, but that's what we've got, nonetheless. God gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. Paul here writes, "Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Ephesians 2 also refers to that God has given the Spirit as an earnest, or as, if you will, a receipt to be cashed in later on. That He's given us that Holy Spirit as a seal, in one way. In God, I said Ephesians 2, it's Ephesians 1, from Ephesians 1 and verses 13 and 14. He says, "And in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory." When we receive salvation, God marked us with His Holy Spirit. He said, "This one's mine. That one belongs to me." And it was a seal, just like the kings of old used to have that ring, and they would seal something with that ring. God used the Holy Spirit to seal us that way, and say, "Boom, there's my mark on that one. That one belongs to me." What a gift. But He only gives that gift to those who are saved, to those who have come to him through faith. Then we see 10th, God gave us the scriptures, the Bible. But the little ones, even they ask them on Wednesday night, what did God gift us? And eventually one of them will usually say, the Bible. The Bible, that's God's gift to us, a gift that we can certainly take advantage of today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, God himself, through Paul, says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He has given us that inspired word, his Bible, so that we can have all of those things that we need in that area, to have doctrine for correction and reproof and for teaching instruction. We have all that we need in that area. And then, number 11, God gave us hope. See, there is nothing more pitiful in the world to observe than someone who has lost all hope. That's a miserable condition. And there is nothing you can do, nothing you can say to a person who's lost hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope. It's not just the hope that we'll wake up tomorrow. It's not just the hope that we'll be able to eat. It's not just the hope that we'll live. It's an everlasting consolation and good hope. Forever. So we'll be able to live with him forever in heaven. And then the cross thing that we see, and we often might not think about this as a gift, but it is a gift. God gave us command. He gave us command. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, he says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And this is not the only commandment he gave. He gave any other commandment. But he has given us commandment. So he said, what a horrible gift. You've given me demands. You've given me things that I have to do. You've told me to obey you. That's a gift. Oh, yes, it's a gift. Because without God's command, we would have no way of knowing how to please him. We have no way of knowing. Imagine, if you will, a parent who gives no commands to the child. How is the child ever to know what they're supposed to do? It's one of the problems that a lot of children have, that their parents haven't told them what to do or what not to do, but then whenever they do something, then the parents fly off the handle and start beating the poor child, and the child doesn't know why. He's never been told not to do that. Just suddenly have this horrible wrath for no reason, it seems. Well, see, that's the way it would be if God had not given us his command. We wouldn't have been able to please him, and he would have destroyed us all in hell. And we would have not known why, but it would have been because we had offended his justice and his righteousness by our sin. But we wouldn't have known it. But because he's given us his command, we can know what to do. We can know how to avoid that horrible fate and instead enjoy good things. Then we have all of our presents under our tree. But you know, something just doesn't seem right about having that, all of God's gifts under a Christmas tree. If you'll look on the back side of your paper, you might want to draw one of these. Because all of God's gifts for us aren't under a Christmas tree. They're under the cross of Christ. We can't receive those gifts by remembering him one day out of the year and celebrating him on Christmas. It didn't work that way. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's an everyday thing, this Christianity. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 30. Peter says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. That's our tree. The cross. Not this one. Oh, that was fun, and we enjoy having family over and having the presence under the tree. But God's gifts are under this tree. And unless we come under the shelter of the cross, we can't receive those gifts. There are certainly many other passages. Acts 10 and verse 39 says, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Acts 13 and verse 29 says, when all things were fulfilled concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the tomb. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Galatians 3 and verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Next time you hang an ornament on your Christmas tree, think about the ornament that the Roman soldiers hung on God's Christmas tree. They hung Christ on that tree. And because of that gift, all of these other gifts become available. You're here this morning and you haven't received those gifts because you haven't responded. Yes, God gave His grace. He's given His love. He's given Christ. But it's of no value to you if you don't accept those gifts. Open those gifts. Take advantage of those gifts. If you're not a Christian, if you have not repented of your sins after believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and based on that repentance and confession of Christ as the Son of God, been buried in baptism to wash your sins away, as Ananias told Saul to do in Acts 22 and verse 16. If you haven't done that, you're missing out on all of these wonderful gifts. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but perhaps you just taking all these gifts for granted, thought maybe that you deserved them somehow, then you need to change your state of mind. And remember that these are gifts that we never deserved. And God freely gave these gifts. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.